This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mr. D Math and More podcast. This is podcast number 3. This week, I'm going to be talking about the first step to self-directed learning. Now, you may say, well, Mr. D, why self-directed learning? Well, I'm going to give you an answer to that right away. You may have this answer already for yourself. What if our ultimate goal in homeschooling our young people is to create a self-directed learner? Now, I'm going to get into the definition of self-directed learning, and I'm going to take you through what I think is the very first step and the key to getting young people to become self-directed learners. I'm going to give you the definition now. And after we go through this podcast, see if the definition is something you can start to hear yourself and your young person as a self-directed learner. Here we go. Self-directed learning, in its broadest meaning, describes a process by which individuals take the initiative without the assistance of others. They diagnose their own learning needs, formulating learning goals, identifying the resources that they need for learning, choosing and implementing appropriate learning strategies, and evaluating learning outcomes. Now, if your young person was doing that, you would be thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, I have done a great job. And your young person can do anything they want in their life as a self-directed learner. Now, I'm going to come back to that definition in a little while, because you may be saying to yourself, that's a lot to put on a young person. But let's break it down, and we're going to go through step by step. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you through the first step in becoming a self-directed learner. And as I go through the first step, I'm going to give you the 5 reasons why this is the first step. Here we go. Now, I know you're already there on pins and needles. What is that first step for students to become self-directed learners? Well, here it comes. Are you ready? The first step in self-directed learning is to have students check their own work. Really? Students check their own work? Yes, and I'm going to give you the top 5 reasons why students should check their own work. And as you hear these top 5 reasons, it's going to make perfect sense to you by the end of this podcast. Let's roll. Number 1, top reason why students should check their own work. Have you ever heard this old adage, you learn from your mistakes? You do. You actually do learn from your mistakes. And if a young person is checking their own work, they're going to be learning from their mistakes. Now, you may say, well, how do I get my young person? They're only 7 or 8 or 9 years old. How do I get them to check their work? Well, you may have to sit there with them and do it and guide them and model for them how to check their own work. But let's get into learning from your own mistakes. Think about the idea of long-term memory versus short-term memory. People talk about long-term and short-term memory quite often, but we don't talk about how do we teach it? How do we get long-term memory into a young person as opposed to that short-term memory? Short-term memory typically is that rote memorization. By the way, I'm not saying not to do rote memorization. I think rote memorization is awesome. But for a preteen or a teenager, that short-term memory is typically rote memorization. So how do we get something in long-term memory? Well, we're going to look at that. Now, what do I mean by long-term memory? Well, think about this. You were about 5 years old, and you have something from when you were 5 years old that's in your long-term memory that you could do today, even if you haven't done it in 20 years. And that is riding a bicycle. Now, why would I say that? Well, think about this. Here you are. You're 5 years old, and you're discovering how to ride a bicycle. You get on the bike, you fall off the bike. You get on the bike, you fall off the bike. You get on the bike, you go for a little while, you fall off the bike again. And people say, well, how is it that you actually get the ability to ride the bicycle? And it's not because you sat on the bike a particular way, you put your pedals in a particular way, you held your handlebars a particular way. It wasn't until you got for yourself what balance is that you could ride the bicycle. And balance went into your long-term memory. You can get on a bike anytime you want, even if you're 40 years old, 30 years old, 55 years old. Whatever it is, you can still ride a bike today because you have balance and it's been put in that long-term memory. It's like it's been distinguished for you from something that wasn't there before, is there now. You taste something you don't like. Well, I don't like that. Now you know you don't like that. How do you know that? It's in your long-term memory. You see it again. Oh, no, I don't like that. You taste something you do like. Oh, I like that a lot. What do those things have in common? balance of riding a bicycle, tasting something you like, tasting something you don't like. There's all kinds of examples that create this long-term memory, and you can think about it. But one thing they all have in common is that there is action. Action has to be involved. You have to be engaged in doing something. If you check your young person's work and you hand it to them and you tell them, here's what you did right, here's what you did wrong, it's likely that they're going to remember in a short term, oh yeah, I did that wrong, let me practice that again, or they're not going to remember at all. But if they literally are checking their own work, they're going to see it in the moment. Because they see it in the moment, they literally are learning from their own mistake. Because they've learned from their own mistake, now they know in the future, if they see that again, they will know exactly what to do or not do. First reason for why students should check their own work. Let's check out number two. This one comes from years and years of math experience and talking with parents and hearing the frustrations of their young people. And you may have one of these at home. One of your young people, they do not, no matter what, want to show their work. You may be thinking, yeah, not only that, I was one of those myself. You could have been. But what if the students are looking at something, and I'm going to use math as an example because I'm a math guy. If I can see a solution to a problem worked out step by step, and if I don't have the right answer, I have to go through each step to find out what I did wrong in my own work. Well, the only way that I can start to find out what I did wrong in my own work is by starting to write down what I did. You see, what happens is this. We tell our young people, we want you to show your work. And we give them as many reasons why as we can think of. But just telling them to show their work and giving them all these great reasons why typically isn't enough. What does it really need for students? They need it modeled. And not necessarily that mama's modeling, here's how you show your work. It's that they can see it written out already, as in a math problem, as in a sentence diagram, as in whatever they're working on, that they can see their work step by step so that they can go in and they can start to become self-directed in how to correct their own mistakes, how to look for, how to debug. Can you imagine computer programmers? Debugging is huge. They have to be able to read through code and find where's the mistake. Where is that one little comma that's off, or whatever phrase that's off, or the missing punctuation that's off, to have the code work the way it needs to work in computer programming? Someone else shows them how to do it, they're going to start to do it themselves. That's the second reason. Let's check out reason number three. This one may be my favorite of all. You're going to be able to create an opportunity for reteaching. You see, if they're checking their own work, you're thinking, well, if you don't check their work, how are you going to know that the work got done? How are you going to know that they learned it? How are you going to know that they just didn't copy down the answers and then say, here, mom, I got them all right? Because they have an opportunity now to reteach what they've learned. They can focus on and show you problems where they made a mistake and how they corrected their mistake and what they learned from that. They can even start to tell you things that they can see that they need to work on for the next time that they practice a topic like that. Create an opportunity for reteaching. We've actually implemented this with our own children, and what we have them do is create a PowerPoint presentation. Now, you may have to sit down with them or work with them on how to create a PowerPoint presentation, but whether it's PowerPoint or you're just having them write down or they're presenting their work at the end of the week, however that is, or at the end of the day, what did they do? What did they get right? What did they get wrong? And what can they focus on for the next time? It's an opportunity for reteaching, and learning actually happens when a young person can deliver back what they learned by them communicating about what they learned. It's an amazing tool. They check their own work and then they come back and they teach to another person. Learning happens when you become the teacher. We're going to get to reasons number four and five, but we've got to get to our sponsor for this week. And again, if you've heard podcast one and two, our sponsor this week again is Mary Prather from homegrownlearners.com. If you haven't heard about Mary Prather and homegrownlearners.com from previous podcasts, check out this. And it's homegrown learners with an S, it's plural, homegrownlearners.com. Mary is a seasoned educator. She has an undergraduate degree in music and an advanced master's degree in educational leadership. She is awesome. She worked in the public school system for 10 years, and when it was time for her to become a mom, well, she just brought her educational experience home, and she became a homeschool mom as well. As a matter of fact, if you get on her website today, homegrownlearners.com, you can download her free ebook, You Can Homeschool, Encouragement for the Journey. Mary Prather, if you have not checked her out yet, she is truly an amazing person, and you want to read about her blog, what she writes about, find out about her program called Squilt, as well as get this download, check it out. Read her ebook now, and it's all free. Homegrownlearners.com, Mary Prather, check it out. Let's get back to more about why I say the first step to self-directed learning is students checking their own work. We're at reason number 4 out of 5. Here we go. Reason number 4 is imperative to a self-directed learner, and it's not something that we can necessarily teach. It's something that young people have to discover. How do you discover this 4th reason for checking your own work? Well, what we're going to do is create opportunities for young people to practice integrity. Integrity? What does that have to do with self-directed learning? What does that have to do with them checking their own work? Everything. Think about this. The idea or the definition of integrity is the state of being whole and complete, like a bicycle tire. Take one spoke that is not working the way it's supposed to be working, and the tire doesn't work, you can't ride the bicycle. You can ride it, but it's going to be a bumpy ride. So what we're looking at is practicing being whole and complete. Think of if a student goes back and checks their own work, it's now whole and complete. How do you do that? Well, young people are going to make some promises to you. One of their promises is that they're actually going to check their work and not just copy down the answers. You see, integrity is about honoring one's word as oneself. We're not dealing with whether it's good or bad or right or wrong. We're dealing with your word in the matter. Did you say you were going to check your own work? And did you say that you would come back and show me the things that you got right and the things that you got wrong? And when they do that, it's great. It's a time to celebrate. When they don't do that, it's still great. It's still a time to celebrate because it gives them the opportunity to practice that state of being whole and complete. And you know your young people. You know when they're trying to get away with something. So just have a conversation with them. It's an amazing, amazing opportunity to practice something that will be a lifelong tool for them and definitely make them more of a self-directed learner. That's an easy one. Practice integrity, but it's not simple. I guess you could say it's simple, but it's not easy. However you want to phrase it, it is something that's a lifelong practice for people to honor one's word as oneself. What did you say? And did you do that? Give them the opportunity to practice. The more that they practice that, the more that they're going to become self-directed learners, the more that they're going to develop their own beautiful character and become people who make a difference in the world. Okay, here we go. Number 5. The 5th reason why you want to have students check their own work is it goes back to creating self-directed learners. Now, see if you can hear this a step at a time. Think about young people checking their own work and the things that we've talked about, reasons 1 through 4. We now have a process by which individuals take the initiative. They're doing this without the assistance of others. They are diagnosing their own learning needs. They will begin to start to formulate learning goals. They'll start to know what they need to do for the next time because they know what they got wrong the last time. They identify their own resources for learning. Do I need to write it down? Do I need to watch a video? Do I need to rewatch the video? Do I need to take more notes? Do I need to show my work? But they'll start to identify that for themselves based on their learning style. That allows them to choose and implement their own appropriate learning strategies. And they'll start evaluating their own learning outcomes. Why is this important to me? What do I want to learn this for? Where is this going to make a difference for me in the future? So now I just went through that definition step by step, but see if you can hear it. Are you ready? Self-directed learning describes a process by which individuals take the initiative. Without the assistance of others, they diagnose their own learning needs, they formulate learning goals, identify the resources they need for learning, and they choose and implement appropriate learning strategies, evaluating their learning outcomes as they go. So you take those 5 reasons why young people should check their own work. Well, they're going to learn from their own mistakes. It's going to create long-term memory as opposed to short-term memory. They're going to teach them how to show their work. It creates opportunities for reteaching. Creates opportunities to practice integrity, and you're literally creating the self-directed learner. Well, there we go. This is podcast number 3. I hope you found something in here that is of value for you. By the way, you can email me at any time. Let me know about what you think, about more you want to hear about in the Mr. D Math podcast and more. You can reach me at dennis@mrdmath.com. If you want some tips right now, feel free, get in touch. Let me know what's working for you and how I can support you. Okay, well, Look forward to seeing you next time on the next Mr. D Math and More podcast. By the way, visit my website at any time, MrDMath.com. I'm Mr. D, Dennis DeNoia, signing off. Have a great week, everyone. See you next time. This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.